Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the Chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Today, before I pray, a brief story. I heard recently about two older women, one black, one white. They both lived in the same retirement home, and they both then suffered strokes, one on the right and one on the left. Eventually, a nurse suggested that they continue to play the piano together. And their first number was Ebony and Ivory. So, if you pray, please pray with me. God, you inspired Paul to write, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." But you also inspired Jude to write, "Content for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." How then should we live? God, broken as we are, would you help us understand these truths and make music that pleases you? I humbly ask in your name. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, I'll take the roll. I see Senator Howard, just need to punch in there. Oh, just on the button. You just for roll. It wasn't showing. There we go. I see Senator Lynch is online.
Do one thing at a time.
And then we'll put Senator Molnar excused. I believe he'll be here shortly.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Molnar is excused.
49 members present. The Senate is ready for business. Senator Howard.
President, I wanted to introduce or have be off and out to introduce past Senator Dr. Al Olszewski, sitting right behind me.
Welcome back to the Senate. Senator Lang.
Mr. President, personal privilege, I'd like to announce Senator John Brendan, Senatorship 17, and Senator Brendan has served 18 years in this Montana legislature. He was chairman of the Republican Party and very involved in Governor Stevens and Congressman Marlin's race. Mr. Brendan.
Welcome back, Senator Brendan. Seeing no further announcements, we'll go to order business number two, reports to standing committees.
Mr. President, will your Committee on Education and Cultural Resources report that House Bill 556 be concurred in and that House Bill 63 be concurred in as amended, Senator Daniel Solomon, Chair? Mr. President, will your Committee on Finance and Claims report that House Bills 49 and 252 be concurred in and that House Bill 66 be concurred in as amended, Senator Ryan Osmondson, Chair? Mr. President, will your Committee on Judiciary report that House Bills 368, 386, 428, and 499 be concurred in, Senator Keith Regeer, Chair? Mr. President, will your Committee on Public Health, Welfare, and Safety report that House Bills 307, 328, and 364 be concurred in, and House Bill 459 be concurred in as amended, Senator David Howard, Chair? That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go to our business number four, message from the governor.
Dear President Blaisdell, on Wednesday, March 23, 2021, I signed the following bills. Senate Bill 22, Solomon, Senate Bill 62, Brown, Senate Bill 69, Fitzpatrick, Senate Bill 125, Cuff, Senate Bill 130, Manzanella. The bills have been delivered to the Secretary of State's office. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the following House bills were on this day with three civil times and passed title and history agreed to, and they're here transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 4, Bartell, House Bill 10, Homeland, House Bill 12, Hopkins, House Bill 181, Zolnikoff, House Bill 464, Regeer. That the following Senate bills were on this day with three civil times concurred in title and history agreed to, and they're here returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 33, McNally, Senate Bill 43, Sands, Senate Bill 171, Friedel, Senate Bill 217, Small, Senate Bill 222, Gothier, Senate Joint Resolution 9, Hertz. That the following Senate bill was on this day with three civil times concurred in as amended, title and history agreed to, and it is heard with return to the Senate for concurrence and House amendments, Senate Bill 230, Lang. Respectfully, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House, that is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 396 and 397, House Bills 4, 10, 12, 181, and 464 have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into committee of whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
For the motion of Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Ellsworth, chairman of the day.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now have before you, for your consideration, Senate Resolution 84. The clerk will read the history of the bill.
SR 84, introduced by Solomon, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointments to the Montana Historical Society Board of Trustees made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 14th, 2021, to the Senate.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the section.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 84. Senator Solomon, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 84.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is for the Historical Society, and we had five candidates come, and we had an excellent hearing with all five of them. I will run through them fairly quickly. Justin Dupree was born in Poplar. He graduated high school from Poplar High School, went in the U.S. Army, was an infantryman, and retired as a senior non-commissioned officer with five tours of duty overseas in Bosnia, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Came back, and he's now a member of the Tribal Council there. Tim Fox, here from Helena. I think you all remember him as our Attorney General for 8 years. He graduated from Hardin and also University of Montana and has a law degree, and he's got a list of about 3 pages worth of accomplishments that I won't go through them. Ken Robinson, he's a historian, if you will, for the Overholtzer Historical Research Center in Fort Benton, the Sun River Valley Historical Society, Great Falls Cascade County Historical Preservation Commission. So you can tell he likes history. He graduated from Great Falls High School, University of Montana, and has a master's in colonial history from George Mason University also. He was a captain in the Navy and is retired after 28 and a half years. The Montana Historical Society honored Ken as a Montana Heritage Keeper in 2010. William Bill Jones is from Harlowton. He's a fourth generation rancher. He has been executive director of the Gallatin Historical Society, better known as the Gallatin History Museum, in Bozeman for a long time, and was a very good candidate. And the fifth one, Norma Ashby Smith. She is a graduate of Helena High School and had a Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Montana, went to New York City, worked for Life Magazine, etc., came back, and well, you'll probably remember her as from KRTV in, I believe, Great Falls from 1962, and then for 26 years, she was the broadcaster on Today in Montana on TV. And she is received the coveted Josephine Trigg Award from the Russell Museum, and one of the only living women to be elected to the Montana Broadcasting Hall of Fame, very involved in the Russell Art Museum and also the auction. Mr. Chairman, those are the candidates.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the sponsor.
Will the sponsor yield?
I do yield.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Sponsor, is this a motion that we can debate, or do we just have to be quiet and vote?
I'd like to be quiet and vote.
Thank you.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, this is a good bill. Vote yes.
Senator Kerry.
Mr. Chairman, this will take quite some time, but on page one... Welcome back, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kelvin. Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I think this is a good bill to start the day off with. I recommend a green vote. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the Historical Society trustees had named me the guardian of heritage a couple of years ago. I know four of these five candidates. They are excellent. I would commend them all to you.
Senator Brown. Senator Konauer. Seeing no further discussion, Senator Solomon, would you care to close? Senators, close. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Resolution 84, recommend the same do pass. So many of those in favor, vote aye. As opposed, vote no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no, Senate Resolution 84 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 67. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 67, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising community college funding laws, establishing a base plus formula that is adjusted for actual FTE in weighted categories to be used beginning with the 2025 biennium, providing definitions, establishing a state special revenue account, and providing a statutory appropriation, amending sections, and providing an effective date and termination date.
Are there any questions to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 11.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 67. Senator Solomon, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 67, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
This is about revising community college funding. I believe it came from the Legislative Finance Committee. We've had issues with this over the years. We've got three community colleges in Montana. So we're trying to make it as easy as we possibly can. We'll go through the bill a little bit for you. If you go to page 4, it's biennial budgeting. It explains why it's biennial instead of annual. It's because of the legislative sessions. And then we go to line 18, definitions. There's a lot of definitions there, but adjustable base was the first one. And that's the, this is how we're going to do this, is go to a base very similar to K-12 education funding. You'll have the base, that's last year's funding, and then you go and add either one-time only money minus auditing purposes. You take away the one-time only money, that's your base. You add inflation, and that's what you go forward with the next year. For first year of the next biennium, what you do is you multiply the adjusted base by the inflation, and then you add in any increases, and that's how you get the first year. For the second year, you add the year behind it and go forward. That's how you get a biennium part of it. FTE status changes. That's the number of students. So we're going to do it a little bit different, and we haven't done this before. We've had some issues with either coming up with too many students and they don't show up, or not enough projected students, too many show up, and then the issues with funding that go along with that. So we put in place a situation where we can change it up or down, and there'll be a monetary increase. We put together a special revenue account that the money will go into, and then if there's money in that account, we can make up the difference. If there's an increase in students, if there's a decrease, the money will go from the colleges back into this account and try and even that up. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Solomon, would you care to close? Senator's closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 67, it recommend the same be concurred in. If any of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does Senator Keenan? Yes. Okay. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and 1 senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and 1 voting no. House Bill 67 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 179. The clerk will read the... Senator Asp.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order. Would the parliamentarian yield to a question?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Parliamentarian, is the chair of the day allowed to eat in the chair?
I believe he is.
All right. Carry on, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Parliamentarian. Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, are those vanilla or huckleberry?
Senator, right now I'm on the vanilla. Huckleberry may be coming up. Members, we'll start over. You now have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 233. For your consideration, the clerk will read the title and the history of the bill. Oh, I skipped one. Didn't I? What's the number? 170. You now have before you House Bill 179. The clerk will read the... Are there any questions? The clerk? Yeah. Now, you guys, thanks. I appreciate this. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 179, introduced by Beatty. A bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising Laws Related to Community Colleges, clarifying the procedure for the organization of and funding for a new community college district, revising the election procedure for the organization of a new community college district, revising and clarifying the funding sources and accounting structure for community colleges, consolidating various existing property tax levies into one operating levy for a new community college district, revising definitions, amending sections, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1 through 28.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 179. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 179, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Well, this time I have the community college clarifying procedures for organization and funding of a new community college district. Community or constitutional authority to create new community college districts is vested solely with the legislature. Community colleges authorized by the legislature exist outside of the Montana university system, but their activities are supervised and coordinated by the Board of Regents. Locally elected trustees control the district. The districts are funded primarily by local property taxes, a state appropriation, and student tuition. Presently, we have the three community colleges, Miles City Community College, Dawson Community College, and I guess it's Miles Community College. Check that, and Flathead Valley Community College up in Kalispell. If the legislature approves creation of a community college district, the new district's trustees will need to secure a voted tax levy, and it will be a year or two before the state funding support can be requested and the doors to this new college can open. Presently, community colleges receive a portion of their funding through a variety of local property tax levies, included a non-voted retirement, medical, and adult education levies. House Bill 179 replaces the current set of levies with a single voted operating levy. The change has the effect to increase transparency, placing control over the size of the tax levies in the hands of the voters. The three current existing community colleges are grandfathered so that their current levy sources will remain in place. House Bill 179 provides those citizens who go to the long, hard effort of proposing a new community college district a chance for a fair hearing here before the legislature. It also provides local taxpayer control and transparency over the taxes levied to support this district, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Solomon, would you care to close? Senator is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon, when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 179, to recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. As many of those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the votes.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no. House Bill 179 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 233. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 233, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled an act revising age parameters related to school funding, revising the definition of pupil, allowing certain students with disabilities up to 21 years of age to be included in A and B calculations, amending sections, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 233. What is your pleasure, Senator Pope? Senator Pope, if you'd grab a different mic.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you very much. All right, I'll go over here. This is great.
Perfect.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pope.
Members, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 233, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Pope.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Chair, members, it's a pleasure to be here. This bill is about helping a small group of Montana students with developmental disabilities to be more prepared to enter the workforce. It does so by extending high school education through the ages of 19 and 20 to a carefully defined and qualified group of students. On page 7, you can read with me. I'm not going to go into each line, but this group is defined narrowly, carefully. Years prior, students need to have a graduation goal in their education plan managed by a team of parents, counselors, and educators. Members, the numbers in this bill have been vetted and re-vetted by OPI over multiple sessions since 2015. They have not moved. Approximately 2 dozen students across the state will benefit in any given year. Note that this bill does not mandate anything. Schools may participate if they so choose. The bottom line, continuing school for these kids is far better than transitioning them to work when they're not ready. And there's a solid cost benefit. The cost of A and B are about $5,000 a year, a little bit more. A small fraction of the $40,000 plus average annual cost of receiving the state's disability services. Mr. Chair and members, this is a good bill. Let's do something to help these kids. Please vote green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. We heard this is well vetted in our education committee. This bill was brought from a former educator that's seen some real value in this, so please vote green.
Senator Pope, would you care to close? Senator's closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Pope that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 233, it recommend the same be concurred in. Any of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators having voted aye and 3 of voting no. House Bill 233 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 246. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 246, introduced by Bertaglio, a bill for an act intended on generally revising education laws to strengthen supervision and control by elected school boards and to increase opportunities for pupils, broadening the concept of instruction, expand a focus on the outcome of learning for each pupil, revising teacher, specialist, and administrator certification to codify flexibilities available to elected school boards under rules of the Board of Public Education, streamlining the process of licensing to assist elected school boards in successfully recruiting and retaining qualified educators, clarifying the conditions under which an elected school board may qualify for emergency authorization to employ an unlicensed teacher, codifying the authority of elected school boards to waive specific course requirements based on individual pupil needs, interests, aspirations, and performance levels, codifying the authority of elected school boards to grant credit for any courses when a pupil has gained proficiency over course content through alternative means, authorizing elected school boards to expand partnerships with work-based learning partners and grant equivalent credit for time spent by pupil participating in on-the-job experience with a work-based learning partner, authorizing an elected school board to allow non-resident students to participate in off-site instruction in certain circumstances, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1 through 13.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 246. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 246, that it recommend the same do, or I guess be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Tough to follow. Tell you. Okay, this is, for all intents and purposes, somewhat of a cleanup bill, in case you couldn't tell by the title. What it does, a lot of things, I'll just run through them hopefully fairly quickly. Pupil instruction on page 4, get away from the bells and cells is the terminology that we sometimes utilize. It allows proficiency-based learning. In other words, you're not sitting in the same seat, in the same room, for the same amount of time every day. There are other ways, and the proficiency-based is you move on as you become proficient. It allows this now. We'll go to page 8, allows proficiency-based learning, which is distant learning, work-based partnerships, all the different types of things that are becoming more innovative. University instruction on page 10, it has to do when teaching a course for college credit only. That instructor doesn't need to be vetted by the Board of Public Education. They are a college professor, so that just puts into statute. On page 10, provides for licensure of an out-of-state teacher with national board certification and a record of success as determined by the Board of Public Education. So in other words, they don't have to wait and take a test to become Montana certified. There's reciprocity with other states. Page 12 provides for administration certificates for current and comparable licensures with another state with verification. This is for administrators. So if you're an administrator in another state, there is some reciprocity now. Page 12, issue a 4C license to individuals who have a high school diploma at least and completed 10,000 hours of documented work experience in an area. In other words, they're very successful and have a lot of experience at what they're trying to teach students, even if they don't have a teaching degree to do this. And a lot of areas that qualify are in line 6, page 13, going down there. Most of those are CTE-type situations. Let's see, page 13, line 23, we go to emergency authorization. If somebody, a teacher has decided to get out of teaching for whatever reason, move into the private sector, start a family, all these situations, and their certification has lapsed, and a situation shows up where a school loses a teacher for whatever reason, they get sick, they have to move, something happens. This is an authorization, they call it an emergency authorization for a reason, and must be held, they must have a certificate and the required endorsement from Montana, but they can start teaching immediately. And hopefully that takes care of some situations that may arise and certain issues within a school system when something just pops up. Page 15, attend school in nearest district offering off-site instruction when district of residence does not provide this instruction. So if a school district, a neighboring school district, offers an opportunity for students, generally online or, let's say, a opportunity to take an internship with a business, that student can do this and still attend the same school, but get the credit from the other school who is teaching whatever that class just happens to be. Included but not limited to dual credit, advanced placement, and career certification. Attendance in these cases are definitely subject to the local approval of the local school board. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Solomon, would you care to close? Senator is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon when this committee does rise and report and having under consideration House Bill 246. Recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the votes. Gauthier.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 246 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 543. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 543, introduced by Phelan, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising education laws requiring pupils in grades 3 through 12 to receive instruction about the United States Constitution, authorizing public schools to include a moment of silence after the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag, amending sections and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 543. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 543, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, House Bill 543 does two things. It increases the frequency of the pledge to the flag in public schools. It also affirms that instruction about the U.S. Constitution and the pledge to the flag is presented in grades 3 through 12. That's on line 17 and 18. Currently in the MCA, the Pledge of Allegiance is required each day in K-6 grades and once a week in 7 to 12 grades. House Bill 543 on line 26 will require daily recitation in 7 to 12 grades as well as K-6. There was some discussion about line 23 talking about followed by a moment of silence. There's the word may. Some interpret that as a prayer. It doesn't say prayer. It can be a time for a student to pray if they want or reflect on what they should or should not do during the day. It's a good bill. Proponents of House Bill 543 included representatives of the Montana National Guard and the Office of Public Instruction. Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator McCaffrey. Yeah. Cafferty. There we
McLafferty.
Go.
McLafferty.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the House and the Senate, I just want to speak a little bit. I'm one of the ones that voted no against the bill. I want you to know I believe in saying the Pledge of Allegiance in my classroom. We say it every morning. When my little guy, Christopher, my little grandson, says the pledge, he beams from ear to ear. And so I do support saying the Pledge of Allegiance. What I disagreed with in the bill was that on line 17 and 18, there is a part on the bill that talks about learning the Constitution in grade 3. And the reason I voted against it is in the past couple years, starting in August of 2017, we had a large group of people who worked on our new standards for social studies. And on those social studies standards, they start teaching the Constitution of the United States in grade 5. And taking into consideration the amount of time and energy that these people put into forming these standards, I felt I should go along with them because they worked hard. They did a lot of vetting out of what should be taught, and so I supported them. And that is the only reason that I voted against the bill. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Regeer, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, you know, I think a lot of times we sell our kids, young kids, short. They can understand quite a bit that we think they can't. I think, well, for me, I thought they should have started instruction in kindergarten already. You could talk about the difference between a king and a president to a kindergartner and get them developed that way. So it's a good bill. Vote green.
Question now rises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 543, recommend the same be concurred in. Many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators having voted aye and 13 having voted nay. House Bill 543 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 611. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 611, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Requirements for American Flags Displayed Inside and Outside Public Schools, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 611. What is your pleasure, Senator Temple?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 611, that the same do be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Temple.
If you turn to page 3 in this bill, line 11 and 12, it basically states these flags that are going to be resized from 3 by 5, or 2 3 by 5 from 4 by 6. And they will be made in the United States. And these can be hung on staff at that size or on the wall. And actually, they take up a whole lot less space than a 6x4. And I was going to have my seatmate stand up and show you what 6 feet is, but I think it would be easier to have him stand up and do what 5 feet is. So please vote green on this one. It's just a cost. These flags are made in the United States. If they go to a smaller size, it's the smaller size. It's cheaper for the schools, and they're made in the United States. Please vote green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator, would you care to close? Senator's closed. Question now rises on the motion of Senator Temple when this committee is rising report having under consideration House Bill 611. It recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Senator, there we go. Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 611 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 207. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 207, introduced by Durham, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to School Bus Lighting, authorizing the use of additional flashing red lights on school buses, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 207. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 207 that it do same concur in.
Senator Friedel.
Mr. Chairman, this is a very simple bill. I know we hear that a lot, but it is truly a simple bill. What this does is there's 3 sections of this bill that get touched. On page 2, line 2, adds more. So you have 4, now it says 4 or more. On the same page, line 28, at least 2 red lights, both one being amber and 2 being red. And then if you go to page 3 from line 3 to line 6, it essentially says add additional flashing lights may be mounted to the front and rear at the height of at least 36 inches and not more than 72 inches from the ground. In addition, red lights are mounted. They must be installed so they can be actuated by the school bus stop. Simply what this means is it adds more lights so it can be more safe on buses. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the question now arises on the... Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Fred, I would care to close.
Mr. Chairman, unlike this, I would like to have green light on this, please.
Question now rises on the motion of Senator Friedel when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 207. Recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote nay. Has any member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted nay. House Bill 207 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have for your consideration House Bill 478. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 478, introduced by Harvey, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Driving Under the Influence Laws, providing that breath analysis is included in the possible expenditures for the blood draw search warrant processing account, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 478. What is your pleasure, Senator Esp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 478 to recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Esp.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if you read the title, that says it all. It just allows breath analysis to be included in the expenditures. The only other thing it does is on the page 4, lines 6 through 8, it coordinates this bill with the reorganization of the DUI laws that Senator Rozier carried earlier. And so that's all it does. Pretty simple bill.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Esp, would you care to close? Senator's closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Esp when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 478. Recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 478 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 393. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 393, introduced by Gillette, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring the court to consider additional factors when one parent requests to amend a parenting plan due to a change in residence, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 393. What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvery?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 393, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 393 is quite simple. If you just read the title, the key word is to consider additional factors. So the key word being additional, when a change in residence for a child is requested by a relocating parent, the court must consider what is in the best interest of the child according to 44212. And if you look at starting on line 27, look at the feasibility of preserving the relationship between the non-relocating parent and the child, the reasons of each parent seeking or opposing relocation, whether the relocating parent is willing to promote the relationship of the child with the non-relocating parent, and whether there are reasonable alternatives available to the relocating parent. So HB 396 simply takes a deeper dive into looking at the feasibility of relocating between parents and child, and looks at what the best interest of the child in that situation. So I recommend do concur, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator McGilvery, would you care to close?
I close.
Senator is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvery when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 393. Recommend the same be concurred in. If any of those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 393 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 331. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 331, introduced by Knudsen, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring adult and youth correctional facilities and programs to grant access to a legislator, requiring contracts with correctional facilities and programs to specify a legislator may access the facility or program at all times with an exception for security issues, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 331. What is your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 331, that the same be concurred in.
Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, this is your third bill from the Judiciary Committee. It came out unanimously from there, and if you'll look at the people who were signed on to be co-sponsors, it is very broad across bipartisan House and Senate support. This bill really arises from the need of legislators, particularly we deal with this issue in the Interim Committee on Law and Justice, to be able to really exercise our oversight responsibility in the Department of Corrections with our facilities that we have, whether it's the men's prison, the women's prison, or our local programs as well. So what this bill does is guarantee that a legislator has a right to access without a prior reservation or anything, access to any of those correctional facilities. The only exclusion is if they have a security reason. And if they do and refuse you entrance, they must put that in writing as to why that security issue exists and when it will be cured so that you can have access. I think this is a very important bill for our responsibility to know what's going on in our correctional facilities, Mr. Chairman. Green light.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Sands, would you care to close? Senator's closed. Question now arises on the motion. Senator Sands, when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 331, it recommends the same be concurred. And as many of those in favor signify by voting aye, those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 331 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 115. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 115, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled an act increasing penalties for fifth and subsequent DUI offenses, amending section and providing an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 115. What is your pleasure, Senator Asp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 115, to recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Asp.
Mr. Chairman, again, the title says what the bill does. It increases penalties for the fifth and subsequent DUI offenses. The on the fourth offense, if they are sentenced either to the residential treatment program or to a drug court treatment program, which is outlined in the bill in sub 3, then on line 15 it says if you're sentenced previously under those two subsections, 1A or B, then if it's your fifth or subsequent offense, you shall be punished by a fine not less than $5,000, more than $10,000, or imprisonment not more than 10 years. And they're not eligible for a deferred imposition of sentence. So it says there's some certainty that you will spend time in prison on your fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth offense. That's all the bill does.
Are there any amendments?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Esp, would you care to close? Senator is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Esp. When this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 115, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Flowers. Senator Keenan.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 having voted no. House Bill 115 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 292. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 292, introduced by Custer, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to title insurance required for a local subdivision review, requiring that a subdivision guarantee must be submitted with a final plat and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 292. What is your pleasure, Senator Gauthier?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 292, I recommend it be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you. This is basically a cleanup bill for House Bill 292, and it was requested by the Montana Land and Title Association for the state of Montana. The intent of House Bill 292 is to modernize current law and definitions related to title insurance and current law under 76-3-612. It requires the abstractor for the review process for a new subdivision, also refers to as a title abstractor as an additional state's subdivider, will submit a final plat certification issued by the authorized title abstractor. This is an outdated industry term and no longer required or relevant. The actual process for title insurance producers to provide a product subdivision guarantee for the review process. Subdivisions guarantee is a form approved by the state auditor and the Commissioner of Insurance Practices. The changes will call for House Bill 92 to be modernized in this area of the law, providing consistencies with the Title Insurance Act. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator, would you care to close? Senator is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Gauthier that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 292 that recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote nay. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 45 senators vote aye and 5 senators vote nay.
45 senators having voted aye and 5 have voting no. House Bill 292 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 496. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 496, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled an act revising county zoning laws requiring a local governing body to hold a public hearing on certain public land use, removing a local board of adjustments prohibition to deny a public land use that is contrary to zoning regulations and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 496. What is your pleasure, Senator Esp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 496, recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Esp.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this bill says that when an agency of the state government or federal government proposes to use public land contrary to the local zoning regulations, a public hearing must be held and the agency shall attend the public hearing. After that hearing, the local governing body, whether it be the city commission, council, or the county commission, will rule on that zoning request. So that's all the bill does. Says they must show up if we're going to have a hearing about their request.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Esp, would you care to close? Senator's closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Esp, but when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 496, I recommend the same be concurred in. Any of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote nay. Has every member voted? Senator Gauthier. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 496 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 131. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 131, introduced by Beatty, a bill for an act entitled Act requiring the sale of leased cabin or home sites on state water project land if requested by a leasee or improvement owner, providing rulemaking authority and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 131. What is your pleasure, Senator Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 131, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Brown.
What this is, really what it does is it puts the possibility for a cabin lease on a state water project. You might remember a few years ago the state started selling off cabin leases on the rivers and lakes around, but this is on water projects. It's the same thing with that. Also, if you look on page 2, line 18 through 20, basically says that you can't wind up selling one of those leases if the next owner may wind up underwater. So with that, I'd recommend a green light.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close? Senator Brown's closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Brown when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 131. It recommend the same do pass or be concurred in, excuse me. As many of those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the votes.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 voting nay, House Bill 131 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 291. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 291, introduced by Funk, a bill for an act entitled NEC requiring coverage of amplification devices and related services for children with hearing loss, amending sections and providing a delayed effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 291. What is your pleasure, Senator Gross?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 291, it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gross.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Senate. In 2001, legislation was passed to encourage hearing testing in newborns. And in 2007, the legislature passed a policy to ensure that hospitals, in fact, performed these hearing screenings on newborns. DPHHS established the Montana Newborn Hearing Screening and Intervention Program to ensure that all infants born in Montana are provided with newborn hearing screening services and resources. So they do get currently screenings and maybe diagnostic services and eventually referrals. But what they do not get is help with the cost of the amplification devices and audiology services that children who are hard of hearing actually need. Children on Medicaid are covered, and some families have the means to afford necessary equipment and services, but it can be quite spendy out of pocket for hardworking families with private insurance or group plans that don't cover these devices. So it doesn't really make sense to require the testing and then leave parents on the hook to struggle to pay for equipment and services. Hearing loss can negatively impact a child's development academically, socially, and emotionally. But with appropriate resources and early interventions, a child with hearing loss can achieve their full potential. And that's where this bill comes in, by requiring insurance companies to cover the vital services and equipment a child with hearing loss needs. in order to thrive. The insurance companies are on board with this. There were no opponents to the bill, and I hope we can all support this legislation. It is much needed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Gross, would you care to close?
Hold on.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Boland has raised her hand.
Senator Boland.
Sorry, you're very quick for me. Members of the body, Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out, too, that these children that do have this hearing loss, the insurance companies will actually pay to have the implant put in, but they won't pay to have the device so that they can actually hear. It just doesn't make any sense. And I just want to say that, you know, today we have a chance to get our children that have these hearing problems the potential to be able to hear better and learn better. And I just really do support this bill, and I would really appreciate a vote yes on House Bill 291. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator McClafferty.
Wait.
I'll get that right someday.
Good job. Members of the Senate, I just have to stand and say that I feel so good to see this bill come through, and I hope everybody can support it. My daughter was born hearing impaired. She was 8 weeks premature, and she's had hearing aids all her life. And this, you know, they make a big difference in a child's life when they can hear and can learn. And so please support this bill. It's a great bill. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Gross, would you care to close?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to thank the two senators for speaking in support of the bill. And so the body knows, I have a coworker who had a child born about a year ago, hearing impaired. And I got to see the video of when this child could first had her implanted device that her family really struggled to pay for. But the look on her face was just one of the most precious things I've ever seen. And if we can all help children have that that moment and that moment for families, I'd appreciate a green light. Thank you.
Question now rises on the motion of Senator Gross when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 291 that recommends the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Molnar? Oh, is excused. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 44 senators vote aye and 5 senators vote nay.
44 senators having voted aye and 5 had voting no. House Bill 291 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 156. The clerk will read the title and history.
Senate Bill 156, introduced by Bennett, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws for the sale of products restricted by age, revising laws for the sale of alcohol, tobacco, alternative nicotine products, vapor products, and marijuana, prohibiting misuse of data and metadata from scans of government or tribal issued identification, requiring periodic deletion of data and metadata from scans of government or tribal issued identification, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 156. What is your pleasure, Senator Bennett?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 156, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Bennett.
Mr. Chair and members of the body, Senate Bill 156, as a reminder, is the bill that said that the data that is pulled from our driver's license when they scan it to purchase age-restricted items must be used only to verify age and deleted on a regular basis to protect our private data. The House added an amendment that expanded this protection to all government IDs, not just driver's licenses, and they also created an exemption for purchases of ephedrine or pseudoephedrine to comply with federal law. I think that both of these are good changes that strengthen the bill, and I would ask that you concur in these amendments. Thank you.
Is there any, well, there wouldn't be, is there discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close?
I close.
Thank you. I can't see you. Question I rise on the motion of Senator Bennett when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 156 that recommend the same be concurred in, amended in. So many of those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 46 senators vote aye and 4 senators vote nay.
46 senators having voted aye and 4 have voting no. House amendments to Senate Bill 156 have been concurred in. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 259. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 259, introduced by Vinton, a bill for an act entitled Act prohibiting a local government from requiring housing fees or the dedication of real property for the purposes of providing housing for specified income levels or sale prices, prohibiting zoning regulations that require housing fees or the dedication of real property for the purposes of providing housing for specified income levels or sale prices, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 259. What is your pleasure, Senator Glenn?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report if you're having under consideration House Bill 259, I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Glenn.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, today I have for you House Bill 259, which you maybe have heard of as the inclusionary zoning bill, but it's really not. Inclusionary zoning can mean many things, and those words actually aren't in this bill, but it kind of is the inclusionary zoning bill. Anyway, this is quite simple. So what House Bill 259 does is laid out in Section 1, which is the meat of the bill. House Bill 259 prohibits local governments from requiring either by an ordinance or as condition of approval on a subdivision by subdivision basis that certain amount of real estate be set aside for sale, often permanently, at a specific price point or income level, typically a percentage of the average local annual income, and often permanently or requiring payment in lieu of donation. House Bill 259 doesn't prevent a local government from incentivizing development of affordable housing, but it does prohibit them from putting a requirement on this on a specific property that can't sell for a market rate. So let me just run you through a little example. Let's say, and it's not specific to any locale, it's just a generic example of how this works. Let's say that a builder wants to build 6 houses in Town A. Town A decides that of those 6 houses, they want to make one of them low income. So they tell builder that that 6th house has to be sold for a specific price based on the average income in that town, and it is a lower price, could be even lower than the cost of the house. And they do this with the intent of trying to provide affordable housing, but it just doesn't really get there. It doesn't actually have that effect. What it does is, I'm a builder, and I'm not that dumb, so the other 5 houses I build are going to take up the cost of the 6th house. So, in effect, what they're doing is they're driving the price of housing up for everybody else except the one that they're going to artificially hold low. Now, it gets even worse because the guy that comes in and buys that house that's affordable, he doesn't get to see his investment rise like everybody else does that buys their house. That house is artificially held low until he gets ready to sell it, and then he has to sell it low again. So he doesn't get to see the investment grow like everybody else does. So this becomes a property rights issue. I'd like to just say that this is not the way to let the free market run. There are ways that we can improve affordable housing, and for the most part, it's done by allowing us to try and drive that price down through labor and materials
and cost of development. And we have a number of bills that are working through the process that we're trying to make those changes. But this bill isn't going to. This bill is going to help the citizens of the state of Montana actually see their property as a property right. And I encourage you to vote green. Thank you.
Are there any amendments? Seeing
none, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pope.
Mr. Chair, may I speak to the bill?
Senator Pope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, every morning in Gallatin Valley, 6 a.m., there's a line of headlights on the interstate west all the way past Manhattan. If you go the other way, it's all the way past Livingston. Who are these folks? They're teachers, they're policemen, contractors, and women, at least men and women. Contractors, retailers, nurses, firefighters. We are losing the battle to provide a path forward for these workers and their families, putting a roof over their heads so they can establish some equity, so they can have a family plan, so their family economics work. These folks are driving 20, 30, 40 minutes every morning just to get to work and then on the way home. Inclusionary zoning, as a phrase, is but one tool in the toolbox for my community, Bozeman. But it's an essential tool, and it is beginning to work hand in hand with developers and home builders. After years of discussion, Bozeman is building affordable workforce housing. 60 units will be built this year. It's taken years in the making. Identifying a host of benefits and accommodations for those developers who want to pitch in. I will say that we're going to be building 1,000 units this year, $150 million worth of business. Bozeman's probably one of the hottest markets for contractors in the state of Montana right this minute with inclusionary zoning. The city has sat down with developers around large round tables. They've had public hearings, workshops, focus groups, and lots of community conversation. It's been very transparent over several years. And so what does a developer get for participating? Smaller lot sizes, impact fee contributions, expedited permitting, reduced parking regulation. It's a partnership. And it's not perfect, but it is delivering essential infrastructure to a community that finds itself 6,000 units all of a sudden, 6,000 units short of sufficient homes for our critical workforce. I respectfully ask that we hold on this vote. I want to shout out to the sponsor because I really value her view on business. I know this is well-intended, but it will damage our community. We have fires on deck. This is an existential issue for our city and other cities in the state of Montana. And by voting this down, or voting for it, we're not solving anything. We're not creating any housing. My city needs this inclusionary zoning as part of its toolbox. It will continue to commit to the developers and the others in the private sector to do this properly as we can. But we need to keep working it. We can't give it up. So I am asking, please vote no.
Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I thought we'd start with my opposition by having a little reminder of our values. So I'll take this opportunity to read three of the Montana Republican Party platform principles. So, Montana Republican Party platform principle one, return control and authority to local communities as the government closest and most responsive to the people. Montana Republican Party platform number two, no level of government should mandate responsibilities or programs to lower levels or subdivisions of government. And number three, The rights of individuals to vote on local government tax or fee issues and officials are fundamental to protect constitutional rights. So, this bill was meant specifically to target and undo a local government, and that was Whitefish, and their efforts to develop affordable housing in Whitefish. As you've heard from my friend from Gallatin County, this will directly impact the affordable housing efforts that we have in Missoula County and in Bozeman. And I want to tell you why I wanted to stand up on this, because I've shared with some of you candidly that I'm here to find bipartisan ways to help our communities. And I think some of our colleagues in the House have sent over some bills that maybe don't do that. I'm less interested in transgender youth or dress code violations, but I will tell you the number one issue in my community is affordable housing. This bill means everything to us in Missoula. My father worked for 36 years, as he told me today, 36 years, 7 months, and 3 days, for the telephone company. It was Mountain Bell, then it became US West and Quest. My dad worked on as a lineman and in manholes, but we never had a lot of money, but I got to go to Disneyland, I always had basketball shoes, I had health care, and we always owned our own home. That is not a reality anymore for people in Missoula, for in Bozeman, in Whitefish. And thanks to COVID and the Californians and the people that are going to now be able to work and live in Montana virtually, it's coming to a community near you. I want to read to you in Missoula what that means financially. Last legislative session, sorry, everyone knows I have old lady eyes now. Last legislative session, it was $268,000 in Missoula County for a medium home price. 2 years later, one session later, it's $315,000 to buy a home in Missoula, medium family income. That means for them to afford a home in Missoula County, they have to make $98,000 a year. That's in my community. Again, this is the number one issue in my community and many of the people in this body. There's no way that my dad and little Ellie back then couldn't live in her own community. And it also means that our white-collar workers can't afford to live in our communities too. I've got more letters on this bill than any other bill of the session. Now, I'm in local government, but this issue affects every teacher, every firefighter. If a teacher can't afford to buy a house in their own school district, firefighters can't afford to buy homes in Missoula, in Bozeman, in Whitefish. I am going to take time to read a few. The owner of Ace Hardware in Whitefish, a Republican, he and she says, "I'm a third-generation business owner, one of the biggest threats to my business and ability to retain employees. Housing prices have skyrocketed. Inclusionary zoning is just one of the ways our community is working on this program or problem. In 10 years, my employees have gone from being able to live and work in their community to now commuting 60 minutes out of time. I lose good employees every year because of affordable housing. Please let our community come up with their own solution." Here's another one. "I work in the service industry at a 40-year-old business that employs 100 people in the Flathead Valley. It is increasingly difficult to attract workers. Rent for them is $1,000 a month. Businesses like ours rely on affordable housing. We are a destination for tourists, and we can't survive without affordable housing. So I'm asking you, please, recognize our Republican values of local control. Let local businesses work with their city councils, their county commissioners, and come up with their own solutions. Please acknowledge that housing is a crisis in Montana. It's not just Bozeman, it's not just Missoula, it's not Whitefish, it's coming to your communities. They're moving here, thanks to COVID, but because this is Montana, you will turn us into Jackson Hole. You will turn us into Aspen if you don't allow us to respond to the needs of our own community. Please recognize that one size doesn't fit all. This is government overreach. And so I'm just asking you to leave us alone and let us come up with our own solutions and let us have this affordable housing crisis through our own ways. So thank you.
Senator Mergero.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the body. I just wanted to speak to one point that was made, and that is that in regard to not being able to sell the home and make your investment back or make more money than what you put into the home. The whole purpose of this is individuals that qualify 70-90% median average income. So they have to have that to qualify. And they have to live there for so many years based on the mortgage or the deed. So the whole point of that restriction at the beginning is that we prevent developers or individuals from buying these homes and flipping them. We want the actual people to stay in those homes who need them, who are at that moderate to low income median range that I just mentioned. And so when they do get past that time frame, just like first-time home buyer programs where you have to live there for a year or a certain time frame, once you get past that time frame, you can sell the home or you can, it's yours. You don't have to live there in some instances in order to continue to own the home. And you can earn money on your investment based on what the market values are. So when you buy these homes, what we're doing is we're trying to incentivize and get people into these homes who actually need to be able to afford it. And my community isn't doing this in Missoula right now, but they want to have this option in their pocket in times where they might need to do this. And so we're just asking you to leave this as an option on the table for them when they need it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I sit on the Business and Labor Committee. I got to hear this bill in committee. This is a good bill. You know, I've sat in this legislative body now three sessions, and I was three sessions in the House, and for the last six sessions, I have seen bill after bill roll through here that have attempted to make the subdivision process a little easier, to make it more affordable for people to build houses, and they have consistently been no votes from the other side of the chamber and vetoes from the executive branch. And because of that, I don't think it's any surprise that it's expensive to build houses. How can you build houses when we consistently constrain the supply with over-the-top subdivision development? So that's what we do. We go and we make it harder to build a house. We put all kinds of regulation and restrictions on the development of property. And then we come in, and when house prices go up like they naturally would, the solution is to go stick it to the builder, who is nothing more than mostly a guy who maybe him and his son or him and his brother have decided to put together a business to build some houses. You know, it's not the builder's fault that the zoning regulations are out of control in many jurisdictions. It's not his fault that that commodity prices are up or that interest rates are such that people want to buy more homes. And it's not his fault that we have a COVID pandemic and people want to come to Montana. So why are we giving it? Why are we hurting Montana business people for things that are out of his control? Now, I want to mention the Republican Party platform. I do like the Republican Party platform because I've actually served as a chair of one of the planks of the platform. And if you go in there, the Republican Party platform is quite simple. We're for eliminating regulation. We're for supporting the free market, and we're for ending the practice of picking in winners. And that's all inclusionary zoning is. It's more government. It's more regulation. It hurts the free market, and it picks winners and losers. This is a good bill. This is a bill about limiting government and limiting the power of government to drive up housing costs. So if we want to have more affordable housing in the state of Montana, we need to take a look at our housing regulations, and we need to do something about that instead of making it or sticking the bill to the builder, a guy who had nothing to do with this problem in the first place.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, I have to agree with my friend from Great Falls, and I'm glad to see my friend from Missoula reading the Republican Party platform. I believe in local control, but when local control is an overreach and they start infringing upon your constitutional rights and taking away value from your property, then, you know, we can't support that. And my friend from Bozeman talked about how the planners, the builders, and the developers are working together. Great. Why do you need to force them? There's nothing stopping them from sitting down, working together, a developer, builders, and planners, and say, yeah, let's do this, and let's help our community. That's the Montana spirit. So let's get it done. I mean, we've got organizations too right now that, you know, look out and get donations from people and help people, you know, buy their first home. But just doing this inclusionary zoning to maybe pick one or two homes and will elevate the price of other homes, it's not going to help. Supply is the problem, and we need to build more houses, and we need to stop government regulations from stopping the building of those houses. Thank you.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I need to respond to a few comments that were made. Rest assured, the increase in price and the challenge that that's presented of housing in Bozeman and the challenge that that's presented for our blue-collar workers, our lower-income workers, is not because of undue burden from subdivision rules. There are simply not enough homes in the valley. And builders are doing their best to, you know, respond to that. But who can afford them? Certainly not our lower-wage workers. And yes, our community has come together and explored all kinds of solutions to this problem. And the solution they landed on, at least one, was inclusionary zoning. Who are we at a state level to take away from our communities tools that they've decided are effective in solving problems? I ask you to vote no on this.
Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, senators. I mean, we've heard about affordable housing, especially in Missoula. It costs a lot, but there's one piece that hasn't been talked about, and that's property taxes. Taxes, from what I hear in Missoula, are sky high, and that is a big aspect of affordable housing. And instead of dealing with high property taxes and how government could be more efficient, they go after the developers. It's wrong. This is a good bill.
Senator Glenn, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This idea isn't new. It's been around for a long time, and it's been tried across the nation. And over and over and over, the studies show it just doesn't work. This is a good bill. It protects property rights. It protects the citizens of Montana. There are other ways that we can help with the affordable housing crisis. Let's do those, but green light on this bill. Thank you.
Question now rises on the motion of Senator Glimmer when this committee does rise and report. Having under consideration House Bill 259, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. As many opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 30 senators vote aye and 20 senators vote nay.
30 senators having voted aye and 20 having voted no. House Bill 259 has passed second reading. Majority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Majority Leader Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries.
The Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committed to the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Resolution 84 be adopted. House amendments to Senate Bill 156 be concurred in. House Bill 67, 115, 131, 179, 207, 233, 246, 259, 291, 292, 331, 393, 478, 496, 543, and 611 be concurred in.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the committee report.
Heard the motion, Senator Wellsworth, that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 40 have voted yes, 10 have voted no.
40 senators haven't voted aye, and 10 senators haven't voted no. The committee of the report has been, whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Ellsworth. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 89, introduced by McCamey, a bill for an act entitled Revised Transformational Learning Program.
House Bill 89, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Senator Gothier. Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 47 voted yes, 3 have voted no.
47 senators voted nine, 3 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 89 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 91, introduced by Farris Olson, a bill for an act entitled Revised Violent Offender Registry Laws.
House Bill 91, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 39 have voted yes, 11 have voted no.
39 senators haven't voted aye, and 11 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 91 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 121, introduced by Beattie, a bill for an act entitled Require Elected Official Approval of Local Health Board and Officer Actions.
House Bill 121, having been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, 19 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 121 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 152, introduced by Durham, a bill for an act entitled Requiring Drain Plugs to be Disengaged to Prevent Aquatic Invasive Species.
House Bill 152, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 senators haven't voted aye, and 4 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 152 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 173, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Regarding State Timber Sales.
House Bill 173, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 173 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 211, introduced by Fraser, a bill for an act entitled Provide Compensation and Assistance for Secondary Victims.
House Bill 211, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 211 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 289, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Labor Laws Relating to Employee Associations.
House Bill 289, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 1 senator haven't voted no. House Bill 289 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 401, introduced by Al Galloway, a bill for an act entitled Revising Property Tax Rent Laws.
House Bill 401, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 30 have voted yes, 20 have voted no.
30 senators haven't voted aye, and 20 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 401 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 402, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Property Rental Laws.
House Bill 402, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 30 have voted yes, 20 have voted no.
30 senators haven't voted aye, and 20 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 402 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 440, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Winery Regulatory Laws.
House Bill 440, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 440 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 454, introduced by Rickey, a bill for an act entitled Revised School Tuition Laws.
House Bill 454, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 454 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 541, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Landlord and Tenant Laws.
House Bill 541, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? Or if not, the Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 28 have voted yes, 22 have voted no.
28 senators haven't voted aye, and 22 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 541 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 153, introduced by Wellborn, a bill for an act entitled General Revising Laws Readministration of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, Lands, Waters.
Senate Bill 153, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 39 have voted yes, 11 have voted no.
39 senators haven't voted aye, and 11 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 153 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 263, introduced by Cuff, Bill for an act entitled Revise Forest Lands Property Taxes and Rates.
Senate Bill 263 has been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 263 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Order of business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to refer House Bill 233, Revised Funding for Students with Disabilities, sponsor Fred Anderson, to Finance and Claims.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move, or Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 67, Generally Revised Community College Funding Laws, sponsor Representative Lou Jones, to Finance and Claims.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 131, Generally Revised State Cabin Leasing Laws, Representative David Beatty as the sponsor. Move it to Finance and Claims.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 115, sponsor Representative Bill Mercer, increase penalties for fifth and subsequent DUI. To Finance and Claims.
Without objection, so ordered. See no further motions. Without objection, we'll go to our business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, four bills, 8 o'clock.
Senator Hoven.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will not meet tomorrow.
Senator Brown.
Mr. President, Fish and Game, 3 o'clock.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government tomorrow. Immediately after the session, we're going to have one bill and executive action.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Business and Labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Highways and Transportation will meet at 3 p.m. today in room 405, and I would like to thank the pro tem for being such a good sport.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Energy Telecommunications, 3 o'clock, 317.
Senator Osmundson.
Mr. President, Senate Finance and Claims will meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. No Senate Agriculture today. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, announcement, please.
Senator Solomon.
Tomorrow, Rotunda. We're going back to those things where they're actually going to have lunch in the Rotunda. The Office of Public Instruction will provide that, and they will have a little bit of a program, Mr. Chairman.
Seeing no further announcements, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m., March 26th, the 60th legislative day.
For the motion, the Majority Leader, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on March 26th.